There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcasts at DubaiEye1038.com.
Talking aviation now. Within the past 24 hours, Emirates Group has released its full year results. They were actually not bad. 32nd consecutive year of profit for the group, 1.7 billion dirhams. However, the future prospects are, of course, very much more cloudy. Joining us on the line now with some perspective, Nick Humphrey, who's an aviation expert and a partner at the law firm Kennedy's. Morning, Nick.
Good morning, Richard.
So, first of all, let's look at, in the rearview mirror, at the past 12 months for Emirates. What did you make of their numbers?
Well, the numbers were, whilst on the headline, were positive. There was some signs that there was an economy that was beginning to slow. And I always look to the cargo numbers as the litmus test. And if you look at the cargo numbers, there was a decline of 10%. And then passengers carried was 4% decline, which could be attributed to the runway closure. But I think the cargo numbers were an interesting sign pre-COVID of what was coming. Now, the real impact and the positive impact for these results was the decline in fuel costs, which still accounts for a third of the airline's costs. And they declined by 15%. So you then look at the, let's say, the challenges that started to be shown in this past financial year. I mentioned the runway closure. The UAE is still subject to the strong US dollar, with Emirates' revenue from overseas being impacted by that, but also an interesting impact on Danata's results from the Thomas Cook collapse, which and Danata was both as a travel agent and a handler in the UK, was heavily impacted by that.
Okay, so we should clarify, I didn't mention this at the start, Emirates' financial year goes from the 1st of April to the 31st of March. So these results had 5 or 6 weeks of serious COVID impact, but the bulk of them were unaffected by that. So,
yes, exactly.
If we look, what was most interesting to me was the comments from His Highness Sheikh Ahmed, who's the CEO and chairman of the Emirates Group, about what's going to happen next. And his comments about it's going to be 18 months before we see travel coming back to anything like normal. What did you make of that?
Look, I think that's probably, in some respects right now, realistic. There still is a lot of conjecture on what's going to happen with aviation. I mean, the discussion in the past week has been the use of face masks, and IATA is very positive about face masks being a safe way to travel without the need to have a seat in between passengers. But really, I think, as everyone feels on a day-to-day basis, it's still a little bit of a mystery on what the next 6 months hold, let alone the next 18 months. So if we are up and running by in 18 months, I think that's a positive outcome.
So what does an airline like an Emirates or an Etihad or any airline, what do they do at this stage? Clearly their revenue is not quite zero. They've still got some cargo revenue, but it's close to zero. What do they do?
Well, they do as much as they can as far as, you know, well, they don't have their fuel costs, obviously. They will look at headcount cost reductions, and we know across both Emirates and Etihad there have been wage reductions. There may be some other staff reductions. And the interesting thing I drew from, for example, Dubai Aerospace's Q1 results last week was that they had granted 25 customers rent deferrals on their lease repayments. So Emirates would be, for example, negotiating with their lessors on rent reductions on their aircraft fleet. So they'll be doing all they can to keep that balance sheet as clean as it can and reduce the outgoings.
How much can you reduce the outgoings, though, as an airline, Nick? Where's the line?
Well, I guess I'm not an accountant, I'm more a finance person, but I guess you've got a particular pool of cash and there's no, you know, there's very little money trickling into it, and there's big holes at the bottom with it emptying out. So there'll be an end point. And I think we've got the benefit of the flag carriers in the UAE, which have got government support, as opposed to other foreign carriers which don't have that. So I think we're a bit in a better position in the UAE. But if you look at, for example, a position with British Airways and Virgin Atlantic, who are not getting government support, they are doing massive staff reductions. But there will be an endpoint where it's just purely unsustainable. And particularly in those jurisdictions which are subject to bankruptcy laws, they when they get to a point where the liabilities exceed the assets, they will have to get the administrators in, just like Virgin Australia have done.
So let's look at the core underlying business of Emirates. Let's look at cargo, because that's the bit that's still operating at the moment. They've still got some revenue from cargo. We don't know how much, but they've got a fleet of, I think, is it 9 777 cargo flights? And some of the passenger flight aircraft are also flying as well. But cargo revenue was down last year, irrespective of COVID-19. And Sheikh Ahmed made reference to this in his comments around the results. What's the problem with cargo, even before COVID-19, Nick?
Well, I always see cargo as demonstrating where a global economy is headed. It's based upon those types of goods which are air transported. And it is, you know, the story is always about the number of air cargo flights flying from China carrying iPhones. If iPhone sales are down, then air cargo market is down. And this is a reflection of consumer sentiment and the reduction in the velocity of money. So I think everyone could see that there was a slowing down of the global economy. So this is the pre-COVID world. And that's where those numbers come into play.
So Emirates cargo decline was down 10%. Were they losing market share, do we think? Or was it simply that global air cargo volumes were down about 10%?
Well, I don't think it's a matter of them losing market share, because there were a number of cargo operators which were hitting the wall by the end of late last year. So it's a matter of cargo volume. And also, cargo margins have been very poor for a number of years as well. So in some respects, there may be a benefit to the bottom line if you're reducing your capacity where you're actually making very little money out of it.
Nick, as ever, great speaking to you. Really appreciate your time today. Nick Comfrey is a partner at the law firm Kennedy's Aviation Expert, joining us on the line from his home.
There's just so much more to hear.
Download our podcast at DubaiEye1038.com.